This is Illinois Edition. I'm Bill Wheelhouse. In anticipation of the Affordable Care Act, the State Department of Public Health was charged with coming up with plans to help meet the increased demand for frontline medical care. In addition to areas of the state where there may have been shortages already in primary health care, there is the expectation that more people will be taking advantages of health services statewide. Dr. Lamar Hasbrook is the director of the State Department of Public Health. He headed up the panel, which made 24 recommendations. One of those is increasing the amount doctors get for treating Medicaid patients. This is in an environment where doctors are reluctant to take on Medicaid patients as it is.
Well, we know that when we look at the number of or the percentage of physicians here that really accept Medicaid, we're at about 65% in Illinois. The national average in terms of physicians that accept Medicaid is 76%. So we're woefully behind the national average in that. I think we have to have some hard, difficult conversations about what we need to do if we really want to address the shortfall. So if it's politically feasible or not, I'm not sure. But my job really in leading this panel is really to be honest and take a frank look, do a real assessment, and then make real-life recommendations.
The other part you mentioned were those other types of health care providers, the physician assistants and nurses going on down the line. One of the things you call for is, I think you use the term, expanding scope of practice, which essentially means allowing them to do more. But one of the things I would think you have to fight in this situation, a political reality, is that a lot of the industry groups will say the doctors, for instance, aren't necessarily keen on a physician assistant having any more prescribing authority than they are right now. They don't want to see it get too more independent or too more autonomous. So I would think that would be a major challenge that you're going to have to overcome as well.
It is. And, you know, other states have had to deal with this as well. Anytime you're talking about expanding the scope of practice, you're talking about primarily suggesting that one level or one cadre of workforce kind of encroaches on, you know, the historical turf of another. So there's always going to be some backlash, some pushback by the cadre that sees additional folks coming in into their turf. But again, we have to be really realistic. We're not talking about necessarily prescribing. We're talking about doing more. We're talking about working smart. We're talking about prioritizing certain levels of healthcare workers or healthcare providers. For instance, you don't want a doctor highly trained, you know, takes 14, 15, 16 years to cook a doctor. You don't want that person spending time doing menial things, follow-up checks and other things that perhaps a advanced practice nurse can do, a PA, even a nurse can do, or in some instances, even a pharmacist. So it's really about working smarter and really delegating authority to those folks who have the training, who have the experience, who have the knowledge base to do more.
And what would be some of the examples of what you're looking for there? You've given a few.
Sure. Well, I think when you're talking about an advanced practice nurse or physician assistant working under the supervision of a licensed physician, you're really talking about having a little bit more autonomy, being able to work within their lane, being able to work at the very top of their training, at the very top of their experience. And sometimes credentialing at different hospitals varies. So we're talking about having them do things that a doctor wouldn't necessarily have to do and wouldn't have to be involved in every aspect of the care. Follow-up appointments, discussing the care plan, tracking patients into the community, things like that, that a doctor, you know, the average time a doctor spends with a patient is about 13 minutes. So you have to really use that time very wisely, especially when we estimate that with the Affordable Care Act, we're going to have an influx of an additional million people with health care. So we already have a shortage that's going to be exacerbated. So we have to be smart.
I saw one allowing dental hygienists more duties. What would that be include?
Well, there's been a number of bills that have been proposed by different legislators. I mean, I think everybody kind of gets it. We're going to have more hands on deck. One of the things that's been proposed is to have dental hygienists be able to work more independently to do kind of primary care oral health. Some of the checks, oral cancer checks, some of the hygiene checks, nothing high end. You're not going to be filling cavities and doing other root canals and things, but obviously things that they can do once again within their scope. Also, what comes up from time to time is having dentists actually give vaccinations or immunizations. And there can be pushback from other groups who traditionally do that. But again, as a state health officer, I'm looking at coverage. You know, what percentage of our population can we protect from the flu and other things by getting coverage? So if we have other folks that can be trained and certified in doing it, you know, so much the better.
If somebody has served in the military, you think there might be easier transition from some military medical type services for licensure in the state.
And we recognize that people go into the service, serve our country. They may be acting as medics and other things, get a whole lot of in the field, real life experience and training. Then they come back, they got to start all over and get into kind of a curriculum pathway to get their license as a certified nurse assistant or, you know, as a nurse or something. So we're looking to streamline and to give credit to be able to count the credit that they've gotten in the field to help streamline and get them licensed so they can get, you know, hit the ground and actually help us with a workforce shortage and also secure, you know, a livelihood for themselves.
There was one area where I think you were considering some type of expansion with telemedicine or whatever the latest technology becomes as it rapidly changes. What would you propose doing there?
There's been some concern about having telehealth expand across state lines. And so that's been a concern. So here, what we really want to do as an initial step is really just have a state-wide telehealth program. So folks are licensed in the state, by the state, are licensed practitioners here, and then can transport that expertise.
And related to cross-border issues, another issue in that recommendation was streamlining some of the regulatory process for out-of-state nurses or something like that. Can you explain that?
Right. So you're speaking of the Nurse Licensure Compact. And what that is, it's a smart way to utilize nurses that are licensed in other bordering states to basically transport that expertise into our state. So to recognize it's a rigorous process where we recognize their state license. We run it through our financial and professional regulation agency here. We do the necessary background checks and things. So it basically increases our potential or our pool of nurses, and we know that nurses are a shortage area.
As you review these proposals, what do you think will be probably the most doable, easiest done that you'll have done sooner than later?
Right. That's a great question, because we have been trying to prioritize the easy lifts versus the hard lifts. I think whenever you're talking about incorporating physician healthcare workforce, such as the community health worker, kind of the lay worker that can help be a provider extender into the community, help people navigate to get their appointments, help them understand what they need to do in self-care, how they can keep themselves well in the community, in the home, things like that. I think that might be an easier lift. I think when we're talking about expanding scope of practice in terms of adding additional duties, maybe immunization, vaccinations, things like that, that may be an easier lift. The Nurse Licensure Compact, when we can get people comfortable with the fact that the background checks, we're not going to be missing anything and having deadbeat nurses dumped in the state. I think if we can get over that hurdle, that will be a relatively easy lift. Anytime you're talking about expanding scope of practice, you're going to have, you know, a tier of professionals that are going to be somewhat concerned. So that might be a more difficult lift, and we're talking about creating an advisory council that's made up of a number of folks from different professions who can help to vet some of these ideas so that everyone's comfortable.
That's Dr. Lamar Hasbrook, director of the Illinois Department of Public Health. He's discussing the recommendations of a state panel to come up with ways Illinois can meet the increased patient load that's expected with the Affordable Care Act. From the WUIS Healthcare Desk, I'm Bill Wheelhouse.